I grew up in a house where we played a lot of games. My mom and I played a lot of Kings in the Corner. Have you ever played that? What are some games that you play to bond with your family in your house? What? Farkle? Farkle? Yeah. I know some Scrabble families. Any card players here? Any euchre? Yeah. This really isn't a euchre area, is it? Not so much. Sheephead? Okay. Well, some of the games that we played were aggravation and Chinese checkers and Monopoly. And my daughter absolutely loves playing Trouble. I think it's the little thing that pops, you know? And she inevitably usually wins. Sometimes our games get pretty intense. And on occasion, just for fun, we decide we're going to switch the rules. You know, maybe you get out on a 5 instead of a 1 or a 6. Or maybe you go backwards. Or, you know, we switch it up for fun. It's like playing a whole new game when you change the rules, right? Well, sometimes, just when one of us one of us is about to lose, that particular person might do something different. Or maybe something happens where the person can't move, and maybe you're given an extra life. I don't know. There's all sorts of crazy things that can happen, especially when you change the rules. Now, sometimes we don't change the rules. Sometimes we play the game, you know, clear out the way that the box says you're supposed to play the game. And my daughter decides on her own that new rules need to be implemented because she's not winning. And when that happens, swift and decisive measures must be taken. At the beginning of time, God created the world, and everything was right. He said, it is good. Everything was exactly the way it should be. The rules were on the box cover. He had it the way it was supposed to be. Pure, holy. We had everything we needed. We didn't need to look for more, right? God supplied abundantly everything we could possibly want or need. Now, there was a couple of rules. He said, don't touch the bad stuff. Or else, what's going to happen if you touch the bad stuff? You're going to lose your holy spark that allows you to live in paradise and be part of this holy stuff. Because the bad stuff can't mix with the holy. It can't. So if you touch the bad stuff, you're going to have trouble. You're going to invite decay and death. So don't touch the bad stuff. So what did we do? We touched the bad stuff. What was the result? Death and decay. When I was a kid, when I was in kindergarten, I used to walk to school with the neighbor boys. It was just half a mile. And one day it had rained really hard overnight, and there were puddles everywhere. And my mom told me to stay out of the mud. One rule, stay out of the mud. But on the way to school, the neighbor boys, whose names were David, Dan, and Brian, especially Brian. He was a naughty one. They dared me. Now, I wasn't about to look wimpy in front of the neighbor boys. So I did what any self-respecting 5-year-old would do, right? I invited trouble. I realized as soon as I did it that it was the wrong choice. As the water and the mud seeped into my socks, and there was no going back. There was no not doing it. It had been done. I couldn't undo it. I was stuck in those wet, muddy shoes all day. Man, was that uncomfortable. So I paid the price for my choices. Couldn't be rectified. And what I wouldn't have given to have Jesus just appear in my kindergarten classroom and say, "Excuse me, Mrs. Olds, but I have a new, warm, not dirty pair of shoes for little Chrissy." Our gospel reading begins on that first Easter morning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are making their way to the tomb to take care of the body of Jesus. What is it they expect to find? A body. Because they're there to do something specific, they would kind of embalm the body with spices and such. I suppose they expect what you and I would expect if we went to visit the grave of a friend. We would expect to see the grave, the tomb. The tomb would look like most graves or tomb. It would be undisturbed. You certainly would not expect to find your friend or your loved one gone. Yet that's exactly what the two Marys encounter. There's a great earthquake. Then the angel of the Lord appears. Now, we realize in Scripture, when an angel appears, usually the angel has to say, "Don't be afraid." And there's a reason for that, because I think angels probably are pretty terrifying looking. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid." And then the angel, remarkably this one single angel, rolls back the stone from the grave and then sits on it. And then the angel, all dazzling and supernatural looking, looks at them. Can you imagine how shocking this would have been for these two women? How terrifying this would have been to witness all of this? Really, it's so incomprehensible. Now, the guards' behavior tells us how terrifying it was. They are so terrified that they pass out. But the women keep it together. It's in the Bible. I can't make this stuff up. So the angel speaks to them and says, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He's been raised from the dead. Come see the place where they laid him. And he wasn't there." The tomb, and this is why we're all here. This is why we celebrate, and this is why we have hope. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. And this is a game changer. This is a life-altering encounter. This changes all the rules. Not only for the two Marys, but for us. The fact that Jesus is risen completely changes their world. Not even death can defeat our Lord. We serve a God who's alive. He is risen. Though they remain afraid and probably unsure about what all this means for them, they know that nothing will ever be the same. Then the angel commands them to go quickly, and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen. Jesus is no longer dead. And the angel tells them that Jesus is going ahead of them to Galilee and to go and see him there. So they respond. Immediately they leave the tomb, filled with both fear and joy, and they ran to go tell the disciples. Now, this was clearly a very emotional encounter for them. They must have been overwhelmed with their emotions. The women are afraid, yet at the same time, they're filled with great joy. And suddenly, Jesus meets them on the road, and he greets them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? They fall face down. They fall to their hands and knees. They buckle under the surprise. And they worship him, and they realize that he is the Messiah. Bodily, he's been raised from the dead. Not only have the women witnessed the empty tomb, but now they have actually seen Christ. They saw the earthquake, they saw the stone being rolled away by an angelic being, and now they see Jesus for themselves. He appears to them. For them, it's completely clear. He is risen. He has risen. He's right there standing before them. They are not imagining this. Have you ever had something really crazy happen, and you're with someone else, and then you say something like, "Did you see that? Because I saw that. Did you also see that?" You almost have to make sure. But the two Marys, they see this. The rule of death suddenly no longer applies. Jesus has come along and has changed the rules. How good is that for you and I? The laws that govern the universe have been completely upheaved. And when God himself died in human form, things changed. Because, yes, I agree. I know. Because God can't die. Humans can die, but God can't die. And that's why he needed to come in human form. So he suffered in his humanity. Big price to pay. And he rescued us from this dreaded curse of the bad stuff. And that changes everything. Then the Lord says to the two women, again, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Go and tell." This was Jesus' command to them. Go and tell. Go share the good news. This is good news. We don't die anymore. Yeah, the physical thing, yeah, well, you know, there comes a time when we don't need that anymore. And we get to be with God. Jesus is clear. He wants us all to know the good news. He is risen and death has been canceled. Beloved, this resurrection, this conquering of death is not just for Jesus, but for every one of us who accepts it. All of us who proclaim Jesus as Savior. It's for all of us. It's a gift. So the women go and tell. And those in turn who heard go and tell, and those that they share their faith with go and tell, and in turn more and more and more people go and tell. And in this way, the message of Christ's resurrection is passed down through the ages, through the generations, to you and me here today. We're here because the Marys went and told the disciples, who told others, who told others, who told others. And you see where we fit into this? We've been given the good news. And we are here to not only experience this, but to also share it. It's too good to keep to ourselves. And can we actually fully comprehend what has changed? We aren't bound by this world anymore. The rules have changed. Once we embrace the gift that has been given to us, everything changes because Jesus is a game changer. Our societal norms lay out a pretty significant course of rules. When we're born, we've got the box top, and it says certain things. You're born, you live, you die, you get buried, more people are born. It's kind of the life's rules. But then Jesus comes along and changes the rules, which means our lives look totally different. The game box doesn't apply anymore to us. We can experience joy in the midst of pain. We have hope that rises above all challenges. We have peace that passes all understanding. Friends, everything changes. And if the ending of the game is completely different, then our strategy needs to change. We get to live for real. We get to experience life after this. In fact, compared to what we're living now, I mean, the good things that you're experiencing right now, that's just a taste of paradise. That's just a taste of God's kingdom. Because Jesus has changed the game, we need to think about what our next move is. During Jesus' public ministry, he constantly told his disciples. He told them what it was they were supposed to do to bring God's kingdom. He said things like, feed them, heal them, tell them, share with them, be game changers, all of you. He said things like, when I come back, I want you to look busy. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said, go. Be the game changer. And he showed us how. Because as game changers, we radiate light and hope and beauty into a broken world. Because we're playing with a broken game board. But we get to be the healing pieces of that board. We belong to Christ, which means we have the power to be game changers in his name. We get to be light in the darkness, hope for the hopeless, action instead of just words. We get to be justice for the oppressed. Because the tomb was empty, the game has changed. And we are forever changed. Amen.